Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's webinar, Reimagining Nuchal Translucency Scan, Quality, Innovation, and Equity. We're thrilled to have hundreds of participants joining us today from across Ontario. Thank you for being here. Before we begin today's webinar, we acknowledge that Bourne, Ontario, hosted at CHEO, is located on the traditional ancestral and unceded territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe Nation. We honor the enduring presence of Indigenous peoples and their long-standing stewardship of these lands. We recognize that Indigenous communities have been knowledge keepers since time immemorial, shaping understandings of health, family, and community that guide us today. We also acknowledge that many colleagues today are joining from territories across Ontario and beyond, home to diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples. We invite you to reflect on the land you are on and the Indigenous people who have cared for it. Today's webinar is being recorded. A recording will be shared with all registrants when it becomes available. We will also be issuing certificates following today's webinar to support professional development or continuing education credits. My name is Mariah, and my role at Bourne is Strategic Partnerships and Network Coordinator. I will be hosting today's webinar. I am joined by my colleague, Tammy Kipfer, Communications Specialist, who will be managing the chat box and other items behind the scenes today. And I am now so pleased to introduce to you today's speaker, Susan Burnett Roy. Susan is the Ultrasound Clinical Content Specialist for Prenatal Screening Ontario and Bourne. And Susan coordinates the Nuchal Translucency Program. She is also a Diagnostic Medical Sonographer Instructor at the Canadian National Institute of Health in Ottawa and an Assessor for Accreditation Canada. She has Agile Project Management certification and a certificate in adult education. Susan has been a sonographer for more than 35 years with expertise in abdominal, gynecological, obstetrical, small part, and musculoskeletal ultrasound in both hospital and clinic settings. Thank you so much, Susan, for being here and for sharing your expertise today.
Thank you, Mariah. It's my pleasure to be here.
Today, we encourage all attendees to submit your questions at any time using the Q&A box. We'll do our best to address as many as possible during the discussion period following Susan's presentation. With that said, I'll now turn it over to you, Susan, to get us started.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to start sharing my screen. Just give me one second to make sure I have the right one up. Okay, here we go. So hopefully everybody is seeing my screen right now. Mariah, can you confirm for me that I've got the right one up?
We can see it, Susan.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much then. All right, well, it's my pleasure to be here today to connect with you. My presentation is called Reimaging Nuchal Translucency Scan, Quality, Innovation, and Equity. This session is going to explore how Ontario's Nuchal Translucency Quality Assurance Program strengthens first trimester screening through data analysis, performance feedback, and structured mentorship. Partners and participants will also learn about innovative Northern Registration Pathway designed to improve equitable access to NT services while maintaining rigorous quality standards. So what are our learning objectives today? Today, we are going to explain the impact of NT measurements accuracy on screening performance, interpret NTQA performance feedback, and also evaluate mentorship and audit process that promote support, quality, and equity in NT practice. There we go. So, what are the topics? I'm going to quickly look at Bourne and PSO, go over what is involved in the NTQA program, explain the NT and the North project, and then provide some updates on the NTQA program and the website. So, let's start with Bourne and a PSO overview. Basically, BORN is a registry and it stands for Better Outcomes Registry and Network. So it has been granted registry status, which allows it to collect, use, and disclose personal health information without consent, basically to facilitate or improve the provision of healthcare. BORN is funded by the Ontario Ministry of Health and is administrated by CHEO here in Ottawa. So, what is prenatal screening Ontario? It's housed within Bourne and was created to oversee prenatal screening services in Ontario. So, some significant facts that go with that: there are more than 100,000 pregnancies that are screened annually in Ontario. We screen for two conditions. Right now, there are almost 1,600 sonographers registered in the Nuchal Translucency Quality Assurance Program. Now, PSO has a mandate, and I'd like to explain how it applies to the NTQA program. We actually, as part of performance evaluation, we're going to look at the monitor, evaluate, and report on performance of prenatal screening Ontario. So that, of course, includes the Nuchal Translucency Scan. We support knowledge mobilization. So, what does that mean? We want to provide education, information, and support to healthcare providers. So, our sonographers who are doing those NT scans. And then finally, for quality improvement, this is where the quality assurance program comes in because we want to improve the delivery of prenatal lab screening laboratory services. And of course, that includes sonographers as part of the EFTS program. Now, governments. This is an interesting. So there a lot of people assume that the NTQA program has full governance over the program. So I'd like to explain it a little bit more. So Bourne and PSO coordinate the NTQA program. We provide support to the sonographers in their scanning practices. We supply data analysis, but we do not hold the authority on whether or not an individual sonographer should or should not perform the NT ultrasounds. It's the MMS Labs, so the Ontario Multiple Marker Screening Laboratories. They are responsible for the quality of the MMS and resulting screening reports. And that includes the incorporation of sonographers' NT measurements, which they take from the EFTS requisition. So it is the MMS labs who decide whether or not an individual sonographer should or should not provide NT measurements for the purpose of MMS. Then there's the CMI RTO, so the College of Medical Radiation and Imaging Technologists of Ontario. So they are the regulatory body for medical radiation, which includes sonographers. They're there to protect public interest by ensuring that all sonographers are qualified and practicing professionally. They do not provide any specifications regarding education or certification in the area of NT scanning. And then there's Accreditation Canada. So Accreditation Canada is mandated to by the Ontario Ministry of Health, and they are the inspecting body of all facility level quality and patient standards. So basically, the ICSHC Quality Assurance Program looks at all private facilities that provide ultrasound. And the NT ultrasound would fall into that qualification. So they have set up their own standards that relate and reference NT, the NTQA, and Bourne Ontario. Okay, so that was a quick explanation. Now we'll move on to the NTQA program itself. So, just a refresher, nuchal translucency is a measurement of the thickness of the fluid under the skin at the back of the fetal neck. That measurement can be an indicator for trisomy 21, 18, 13, and sex chromosome aneuploidies. It looks at chromosome differences. And it can also check for single gene just disorders such as Noonan syndrome. The key thing to think about with this ultrasound, it is not only about the measurement, because we can also look at fetal structural anomalies. This is routinely done at around 12 weeks, and it gives us the opportunity to look at the fetus overall. The CRL measurement for a nuchal translucency is 45 millimeters to 84 millimeters. This is if you are providing EFTS, and that is based on the software that is used for that calculation. The NT measurement can still be done until 13 weeks, 6 days outside of EFTS. So, what is EFTS? Enhanced first trimester screening. This involves the CRL and NT measurements, along with blood work. So this is done after the NT ultrasound, ideally the same day, but it can be done up until 84 millimeter CRL measurement. The labs put together the NT measurement with the serum biochemical markers, the blood work, and maternal age, and that helps to determine a risk value for trisomy 21 and trisomy 18. Now, the key thing to think about in all this is that the NT measurement is the most heavily weighted factor in the equation. So basically, what it means is accuracy is very important. Okay, CRL imaging. This is something that I am also putting a lot of emphasis on these days. When you're looking at your CRL, you have to remember that is actually part of the biometric measurements. Okay, so once you have your initial dating scan and they use the CRL for that is going to give you a due date. And from there, after all of the testing and screening is based on that CRL measurement and the determined gestational age. So accuracy can affect a large number of things. When you are looking at your CRL imaging, there are set parameters that we have to look at. And you can see from this image that we need to see the mid-sagittal view. That's a certain position. It has to be horizontal, a neutral position, clear definition of the crown, so the top of the fetus, and the rump, so that the end of the fetus, accurate caliper placement, and good magnification. Now, for NT imaging, we also have set parameters very similar to our CRL images. So, obtaining that mid-sagittal plane, we want appropriate magnification so we can see the NT very well. We have to have a neutral position, and caliper placement has to be accurate. So, all of these areas are defined by the FMF, which is an international organization. So let's look at those actual measurements. You can see where the calipers have to be placed is very precise. So the inner portion of the caliper has to sit right on the inner portion of that NT border. Basically, what we're emphasizing here is precision and accuracy. So what does it mean then if there's an error? What if we're not measuring correctly? So let's look at 0.5 millimeters. What's the significance of 0.5 millimeters? So this can actually, if you have an error or a difference of 0.5 millimeters in the NT measurement, you can actually affect the risk calculation for EFTS. So if we take a look here, you can see we use those measurements for EFTS in Ontario, and it's a systematic program. So what that means is an error can change the outcomes of the actual results that are presented. So you can have increased false positives, and that's where the measurements trend higher. And then you can have missed high-risk cases. So this is where the measurements trend lower. So what does that actually mean? So if there's an increased NT measurement, that tells us that there's an increased risk or chance for Down syndrome, certain genetic conditions, and congenital anomalies. As the NT increases, the chance doesn't rise gradually, it increases sharply. So basically, what that means is a change of just 0.5 millimeters can significantly shift the estimate. That's because our NT measurement isn't used directly. It's converted into a value that feeds into a larger screening algorithm. So having an increased NT measurement affects follow-up testing, patient counseling, and clinical decisions. Even those small measurement inconsistencies can impact outcomes across an entire program. So higher measurements can increase false positive, as I mentioned, that means that people are flagged as having an increased chance for congenital anomalies when they don't actually have that. And then lower NT measurements can miss pregnancies that actually have an anomaly. So this is where the precision, the appropriate training, and quality assurance are critical. Remember that the NT measurement, it's not just a number, it's actually a multiplier. So that brings us to quality assurance. Any quality assurance program has goals. And I actually took this from the AIUM about quality assurance programs in general. You can see that competency verification is one goal, and that's where we want to make sure that the personnel, so the sonographer, has the necessary skills and knowledge to perform an exam. We want to make sure they have the appropriate training and continuing education so that they are always up to date in technology and protocols. Consistency and importance. We want to make sure they're establishing standards and following those established standards to have a consistent performance record. We want to reduce errors. We want to adhere to best practices. So that means following and making sure you're compliant with current guidelines. And then documentation and accountability. So we actually in the NTQA program have a documentation process. So we assess when we assess images, we look for personal performance and quality. And that affects not only the individual, but your team as well. Okay, so how does that relate to NTQA? How does that relate to our program overall? So basically, when you think about NTQA, you have to think about a standard level of quality. We want to maintain that standard level across all NT measurements that are submitted for prenatal screening. How do we do this? We have a rigorous application process, which we have recently updated, and I will talk about that after. Once you've been accepted into by the MMS labs, you become part of the NTQA program. Now, in order to provide quality assurance, we do have two steps in that. We perform curve reviews. So every sonographer in the NTQA program participates in an annual curve review, which is where the MMS labs look at each individual sonographer's curve. And this allows them to look at the overall scanning habits for that sonographer. If they identify a sonographer that needs assistance, then I can step in and provide image reviews. So basically, this is going to provide more specific information about scanning habits, and it can allow the sonographer to adjust their scanning technique and improve the image quality. So let's look at that individual curve. And this is based on FMF international standards. So this curve is actually used internationally. If you look at the curve, you can see that the thick blue line in the middle is the medium that is set, the standard that is set by the FMF. On one axis, we have the CRL, and on the other axis, we have our nuchal translucency. The dotted blue line above that median line is the 95th percentile, and the fifth percentile is the lower dotted line. Each one of the dots that you see on that graph represent one patient. So it's one NT and one CRL scan that has been performed by the sonographer. So ideally, they're going to follow a set parameters that fall within the curve. So we look at, when we do a curve review, we look at median bias, spread, and trend. And each one of those factors would should have a green standing. So that means that they are meeting all the acceptable ranges and no changes are required. If there's a yellow flag, this means that basically some of the parameters may be falling slightly outside an acceptable range. And if it's a red parameter or red flag, that means that those data points are no longer in a normal range and corrective action is required. So, how do we provide assistance to our sonographers? How do we help them with this process? Every sonographer has access to their own individual curve. They can go in at any time and review it. And we encourage our sonographers to go in at least twice a year just to make sure that you're still meeting those standards. Then we also have information. So we have PDFs available that provide information about how to interpret that curve that you're looking at, tips and tricks that you can provide in order to improve your images. So, for example, how to perform a proper CRL. We give information about completing the multiple marker requisition. So that screening requisition, it's really important to complete it accurately and fully fill out the application. And we have that information available on our website as well. So that's part of the mentorship process. We also encourage sonographers to perform their own self-review or self-audit. So we have these NTQA image review quality assurance charts. So by being proactive, a sonographer can take a look at their images and then they can actually perform their own check. Okay, did I meet all of these parameters that is on the chart itself? If they didn't, then they can try take action to correct that. On the charts themselves, there is also sample images so they can easily reference what exactly is being looked at. So basically, when you're looking at the NTQA program, we want to make sure that the sonographer has the knowledge and skills to perform a high-quality scan with accurate measurements. Knowledge is a treasure, but practice is the key to it. So through quality assurance, we can ensure that that practice continues to make progress as we move forward. Okay, so that was a little bit about the NTQA program. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about a new project that we have started. It's called NT in the North. It's a pilot project. All right, so let's look at a project overview right now. Okay, so we basically, when we started this project, we were looking at service provision. So we basically wanted to establish and promote a systematic approach to prenatal screening laboratory services in Ontario. And that, of course, includes the NT program. So, taking a look at that, we started this project. So, for background, we know that it's really difficult to obtain NT certification in remote northern locations. There's low NT volumes, there's limited training options, and those training options usually require extensive travel and expense. So, what that means is that there is very limited delivery of EFTS screening for northern obstetrical patients. So our goal for this project was to enhance equitable access to prenatal screening in Northern Ontario by supporting sonographers in remote communities, help them obtain NT certification, and we created a tailored registration pathway to accomplish this. What impact did we want to have? We wanted to strengthen the local capacity, reduce reliance on travel, improve EFTS availability for pregnant individuals and families in underserved regions, specifically in the north. And then we wanted to actually enhance the quality and consistency of those NT services through increased certification, ongoing review, and coaching and support for those sonographers. So we set a scope for the project. It was by invitation only. By that means, we were able to limit the number of registers and make sure that we were providing good feedback for them. They had to be new registrants for the program itself. So when deciding who could register, we had to give a definition to North and Northern regions. So we used the former Northeast and Northwest Local Health Integration Network regions as a reference point. And we also added in the fact that if a sonographer leaves the Northern region, they are then required to complete the 15 data point table that's part of the new the regular registration process, and they also have to participate in annual curve reviews. We developed phases for the project. So the first part was planning, of course, looking at recruitment, registration, what would be involved in the registration, how were we going to provide feedback and mentorship, so training. Second part was new registration criteria. So we decided to change the registration process for Northern sonographers. And then the third part was looking at what kind of education could we provide that would assist the sonographers and what kind of training program. So we created new forms for the image reviews that provided further information. And then we looked at telemedicine. So basically, how were we going to offer that training? Okay, so the new registration process. Currently, the full registration process involves registering and submitting 15 data points to the MMS labs for review. With the registration process for the Northern program, we asked that the son applying sonographer obtained the FMF theory certificate. They completed the application form that was available online, and then they added in that they're in a remote location. So this gave the MMS labs access to the knowledge that, okay, we're going to give them a conditional NT number. Once they had received that NT number, I sent them educational material. So they received an educational package, and then they could start their NT scanning. So for each NT scan that they performed, I provided an image review and feedback that they could use moving forward. Where we were able to offer telemedicine sessions, there was even more of a hands-on effect because we were doing that live feedback as the sonographer scanned. Once the sonographer had obtained images that fully met the FMF criteria and had three sets of images that they were very content with and they felt confident in their scanning abilities, we submitted those images to the reading radiologist for a final approval, and then we notified the MMS labs that the sonographer had fully completed the training process. So, what did we include in that education? It was quite a detailed education package. There was a recorded webinar. We had a PowerPoint, of PDF with notes attached to it. And then we also had some reference PDFs. So we gave them an image checklist, guidelines for image optimization, how to perform a CRL, how to upload images for review without involving PHI, how to interpret that curve, how to complete the requisition, and also we provided information about probe manipulation and different scanning techniques. So with the training, we performed image reviews in detail. I could meet with the sonographers, go over the images as well, and we could have a discussion about it. And we were very fortunate to also have the opportunity for telemedicine. So this is where the facility collaborated with Philips. We had collaboration live. There's multiple locations in Northern Ontario that actually have Philips Epic machines. The sonographers could use equipment that they were already familiar with and comfortable with the scanning. And then I could actually log on when they were scanning and provide remote training as well as assistance as the scan occurred. So just to walk you through what the steps are in this. So basically, a scan was scheduled. I logged into the system. You can see me on the bottom right-hand corner there. And then the sonographer provided me with access to the actual scan itself. So you can see that the patient name is hidden for confidentiality. There was a lot, we had a webcam set up so I could have a live view of the sonographer scanning the patient. So it enabled for tips and trips. Tips and tricks about angling the probe differently, a different position potentially. The patient was aware of the whole process, and I was able to see the live scan as it occurred. The sonographer was able to see me, and then we were also able to send messages. These messages were not visible to the patient. So it provided me with the opportunity, if it was a technically difficult scan, for example, we could comment on that as well. So this is all occurring live, and it was really beneficial. Now, of course, with any pilot project, there's always challenges and constraints. We didn't have some cultural and systemic barriers. Getting approval from facility management, can actually be quite a long process, so we had to factor in that. If we were going to use the telemedicine option, we needed good Wi-Fi. We had to have extra booking time for scans during the training, so that had to be communicated to the facility itself and approved by management. And then, of course, if we were going to use telemedicine, there was some costs involved for the software itself and the support system. So basically, what did we find out? How were we going to collect data and evaluate the project overall? So we did have the actual image audit tracking that was available for sonographers, quantitative evaluation, so we could look at the number of new and registrants overall compared to the number of new northern registrants in a 1 year period. And then we could also look at the number of NT scans performed in the north since the start of the project compared to previous years. And we already know just from general feedback that the number of EFTS scans has significantly increased because of the project. Qualitative wise, we looked at a feedback survey for sonographers. We wanted to make sure that they were satisfied with the knowledge and training that they received, that it improved their confidence, and that they felt competent by the end of that training process. So some early outcomes. We have eight locations participating. So you can see them listed here: Temiskaming, Moose Factory, Iroquois Falls, Espanola, Hornpain, Smooth Rock Falls, Pecangicum, and Thunder Bay. And then starting now, we are also have also added in Kenora, Manitouwadge, and Elliott Lake. So far, we have 14 participants, five of whom are now fully registered. One location has collaboration live, so this is the telemedicine, and this is Temiskaming. From June to October, when we started the pilot project, we provided 30 training sessions, and those are still ongoing now. Of the sonographers have become fully registered, we've completed four surveys, and overall, there was really positive feedback on the registration process, the education, and the skill enhancement that was obtained. I was also able to provide a presentation at Sonography Canada's conference last year and get feedback from that presentation as well. So this is our NT map, and it's been blown up. The NT map itself is on our website, and it allows patients to locate facilities near to them that offer EFTS or NT scanning. So when we looked at the NT map, we could see that the northern communities had very limited availability, as you can see from here, and what was available was very spread out. So we were actually able to add quite a number of facilities. So there's Temiskaming that I mentioned that is part of the telemedicine project. Then we also added in Iroquois Falls. Cochrane added another location because of that. Moose Factory, we trained two sonographers, so they have two locations that can now provide EFTS. Smooth Rock Falls is providing EFTS. Elliott Lake is starting. Manitouwidge has started. And Dryden and Kenora are in the process of starting as well. So if you look at the map overall, we've been able to provide access to a lot of communities in the northern region spread across that entire area, which was great. Okay, so what was the overall impact? What did the survey results tell us? Well, the sonographers said that they absolutely felt that the registration process and the criteria helped them obtain registration more easily, and that they would recommend this to other northern sonographers. So talking with some of the facilities, some feedback that we got, Temiskaming is already seeing the benefits, and they felt that the real-time support from Bourne was really helpful during the live scans. So it was a really collaborative model, as you can see from the comments. And the sonographer themselves, they felt that they had support and that they were going to obtain competency much more quickly. Okay, so what's our current status? So it is a pilot project, so we've closed to new applicants. By the end of the project, we hope to have 25 sonographers fully registered. This is based over time because some of the project facilities are only just starting up the process itself. So we have 11 different sonographers who will be adding in. And how long it takes to obtain that full certification depends on how busy the facility is with the NT scans. Once we're complete, we're going to review some of the lessons learned, and then we're going to consider whether or not we can have a permanent program. Things like resources are certainly going to come into play there for image reviews, telemedicine. How do we promote this? How do we recruit more sonographers? And in order to do that, we're going to have to look at target numbers and different geographical locations, and also in make sure that the service providers are also aware that this program is available. So overall, the NT program in the North has been very successful, and I have to say that the mentorship itself has been amazing. It has been a true team effort on the part of the facilities, the sonographers, and the telemedicine team to actually make this a success. So moving on to updates, and I'm very happy to say that we have recently updated the PSO website. It looks amazing. We now have icons that you can easily click on, to obtain information. So it talks about how you register, how to log into BIS, how to access your performance data. It provides a link to those NT locations. So that is amazing. Please take the time to go onto the website and take a look at that. That's our PSO website under for sonographers. And we are also doing a big undertaking. The NTQA program has been helping sonographers for more than 5 years now, and we decided it was time to do an update. We listened to some of the sonographers' feedback, so we have a really big undertaking right now that will hopefully be up and running in the late fall of 2026. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to have the BIS update. So that means it will be a program directory. We're going to remove inactive accounts. There's going to be an automated, simplified application process. We already have a new application process in effect right now. Annual login into Biz is going to become mandatory. We want sonographers to review their curve. We want them to be proactive. And we also discovered that sonographers have not initially always updated their contact information. So it's been really hard to provide any changes or updates to those sonographers. So that information is now going to be a requirement that it be updated annually. We're going to start a communication program, so look out for newsletters and further educational opportunities. And what we're also going to be putting into effect is inactive accounts will be deleted because we want to keep that new platform really healthy. We want the data to be minimal. So if an account has been inactive, so that means there's no data submission for 3 or more years. It will be removed. It will become no longer part of Biz. And this is going to be affecting sonographers, therefore, who haven't logged into Biz for 3 or more years as well. So there are a number of sonographers we cannot contact because we don't have the updated information. So if you are already registered with the NTQA program, please log into Biz, update your information, check your curve. We actually have a password reset form right on our website, very simple to use. If you have any problems, please reach out to me. We want to make sure that we have a really update and complete database of NT sonographers in Ontario. We've also started a program for CPDs. So we have gotten together with Sonography Canada. And you can go on to the Sonography Canada website. You'll see that there's a program, Born NTQA program. And basically, you do not have to be a Sonography Canada member. There is no cost involved. And it basically, what we're looking at is an NT curve review, is what you're going to be doing. So when you log in there and join the actual review process, you have two options. You can look at a webinar and complete a short quiz, or for the second option, you can review some PDFs and other information, and again, complete a short quiz. This will allow you to complete two CPDs. You'll obtain a certificate for that. For those sonographers working in private facilities, this will meet the Accreditation Canada requirements, and you can also share those certificates with your employer and your quality advisor. So, again, a great opportunity for any sonographers to learn about the NT process and to obtain CPDs at the same time. I will be updating the offerings on a yearly basis, so sonographers will be able to obtain two new CPD credits every year through this program. Okay, so getting near the end here, we're putting a lot of emphasis on quality, and quality means accuracy. So we also want to put an emphasis on collaboration. So this means collaboration for radiologists and quality advisors, because they're the ones who are actually interpreting these images, providing a diagnosis, providing that final report. So they are actually have the legal responsibility for diagnosis and communicating findings. And then there's the collaboration with the sonographers, because we want them acquiring those high quality images that meet the protocols. Okay. So we know that it's the radiologists and quality advisors who actually are overseeing the sonographer's performance. And we'd like to have them more participatory in the actual feedback process itself, because overall, the goal for all of us is we want to maintain those standards, high standards of practice in medical imaging, especially the NTQA program. So put it together. You've got that sonographer's knowledge and skill in image acquisition combined with the radiologist's interpretation, and that's going to improve our quality assurance. So it's going to improve the quality of care, and it's going to provide a better check and balance system overall. So that's what we're really working really hard on right now is reaching out to people. We want to engage with everybody. We want to improve communications overall. Okay, so in conclusion, I think as sonographers and medical professionals, we want to provide quality. And that means we provide quality for every patient, for every scan, every time. And how are we going to do that? So we need to have expertise. We need to have consistency, precision. Integrity is important. Accountability. It's your own work that you're doing. Trustworthy. And of course, that way we're going to have a great relationship and providing that quality care to our patients, which is so important. And that's going to have an impact on the overall medical community as well. All right. So that completes my presentation today. Thank you so much. I've listed my contact information here. We also have availability on the website. You can take a look for information there, and I would be happy to answer any questions now. So I'm going to stop sharing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Susan, for your presentation, for speaking about the importance of the accuracy of the NT measurement, the NTQA program, and the expansion into the North. We have several questions in the Q&A. And to start us off, I'm going to ask what led to some of the changes in the NTQA program?
Basically, we noticed that any program should do an evaluation on a regular basis of where they're at, the service that we're providing. So, past the 5-year mark, we started taking a look at that. And then, what really prompted the change overall is updating things, providing better service to our sonographers became a key focus. And when the FMF program changed, they no longer provide image reviews. That changed our registration process for our sonographers. So that was our initiative. How can we help our sonographers with their scanning, making sure they're doing accurate work and that they're getting the support that they need?
Great, thank you. And in your presentation, you shared some training materials that were developed for Northern sonographers. Are these available for other techs?
Absolutely. Yeah, I am more than happy to share those. We are considering in the future actually making those available on our website. We're not there yet. It's still a work in progress, but anyone is welcome to reach out to me. I'm more than happy to share that that information.
Great. Wonderful. And there's a question here around how to label twins when examining for NT. Do you have any guidance for this?
So there are new guidelines that are currently out there, issued by the ISUOG. I actually recently attended a presentation on that. We used to go by the presenting fetus. Now they're actually looking more at the fetus's position when you label them. So that information is available. I'd be happy to share that article with anybody who wants to reach out on that. I don't have it up right now, or I would put it in the chat. So those guidelines have changed somewhat. And I also want to point out if you do have twins, they're not eligible for the EFTS process. You still want to perform those NT measurements, but they are not participating necessarily in the EFTS overall. So those guidelines are also very clearly listed on our website. And on the handout for the MMS requisitions, it walks you through the steps for all of that as well.
Okay, thanks very much, Susan. And maybe for those who missed it, we'll put Susan's email into the chat if you'd like to reach out directly
Yes,
to
please.
her. So there's a sonographer asking how they can see their curve.
Okay, so this is a great question. I strongly encourage sonographers, please log into Biz and look at your curve. So, if you are registered, so you have an NT number, then you have access to that curve through Biz. So that's the Born Information Service system, sorry, and you should have a password. But if you look on our website, okay, it actually walks you through the steps of logging into Biz and looking at your curve. If anybody has any trouble, they are more than welcome to reach out and I will walk them through the process as well.
Great. Thanks, Susan. And is there a time limit for sonographers to submit their 15 data points from when they get their certificate with FMF?
There's not a specific time limit. Generally speaking, though, it depends on how many NT scans you're going to see, obviously. But generally, we encourage sonographers to try and complete it as soon as possible. So that way, they are able to actually actively start using their number. They can have that those 15 data points reviewed and make sure that they're in the on the right track to performing accurate measurements.
Okay, great. Thanks, Susan. And are sonographers required to submit 3 NT images to be audited each year?
No, they are not. So what has happened is the FMF actually have a new website. They have changed that process entirely. So the FMF is no longer going to be providing image reviews or audits. So you are no longer required to submit 3 images in order to maintain your license or run your initial application. So, of course, we are concerned that those image reviews are not going to be performed any longer. So, that's the thing we're looking into for the future. But right now, no, we are looking at maintaining a really robust NTQA program as part of that.
Okay, thank you. And does the new system apply for all sonographers who are already registered for IPS program, or is this for new registrants only?
Okay. So basically, the new registration process is in place for anybody who will be starting. Once we have our new directory up and running, and this would be, as I said, in the fall, the late fall, this will apply to all sonographers. So not just sonographers who are new registrants, but all sonographers who are part of the NTQA program and have an NT number. So what that basically means is if you have never logged into BIS, you've never reviewed your curve, or you have never updated your contact information, please do so right away. And I'd be happy to assist with that as well.
Okay. And there's a question around the measurement. Is there a way to indicate if the study slash measurement is suboptimal due to body habitus of a, for example, BMI greater than 50?
BMI greater than 50. Wow, that's a really big challenge. So, the way you can't really indicate that specifically. I mean, there are indicators on the image itself, but when you're assessing your image, the key thing is do you feel that that image meets the basic requirements for the FMF? And if it doesn't, then that's the point where you have to say, okay, I shouldn't be using this image, I shouldn't be using this measurement because it doesn't meet those general requirements. Because if it's not accurate, it's not going to provide any benefit to the patient overall.
Okay, thanks, Susan. And do you have any suggestions for keeping the MFM licensing up to date? What would happen if it were to expire?
Okay. So they have changed that process. The FMF has changed that process. You are now required to go in and complete a review of the initial theory certificate. You don't have to redo the entire thing, but they do require you to go in and review the actual video. They're still updating that process in itself. So keep your FMF certificate by regularly logging in and checking for updates. For us, once you have that initial FMF certificate, we are happy with that. You've had that training and we're building on it through the NTQA program from there.
Great, thanks, Susan. And there's a question around the form. When filling in the form, can we use our initials and not write our entire name and signature? It seems that some forms vary with what's requested.
I would always write your full name for sure. You can write initials. So, for example, SR, there's a lot of SRs out there. And there's also potentially an SR if your writing is not clear. For example, for your NT number, there could be confusion, and that could delay the processing of the actual EFT itself. So it's much better just to write out your name fully, make sure your NT number is really clearly articulated so that we can read it easily.
Great. Thanks, Susan. And for the NT program in the North, can anyone join that program?
Well, the project itself has closed. If we do start up a permanent program, then it will become accessible again for sonographers. But if a sonographer is interested in the program itself, they have a northern location, please reach out to me. I'm very interested in seeing what interest is out there. Would sonographers want a program like this to continue? So feedback is very welcome.
Okay, great. And there's a question here around the program. Can sonographers join the new system, or can a sonographer participate individually in the program?
Are they referencing the NT in the North or the program overall? Do we know?
It doesn't specify exactly. But I think it does allude to the workplace in general. So I'm wondering if the question is, can it sonographers participate individually, or is the entire workplace participating?
No, so it's a sonographer is it's an individual basis. So they have their own individual curve. We're really encouraging facilities to look at it as a team effort, though, especially if you're in a private facility. Accreditation Canada does require the quality advisor to review a sonographer's curve to approve it. You want your manager aware of that as well. And then even in the hospitals, you're working as a team. So if you're struggling with an NT, it's great if you can reach out to a fellow sonographer who also has that registration who can assist you. So, no, it's an individual registration and individual number, but I really look at it as a team effort as well.
Okay, thanks, Susan. And we have two more questions. I think we might be able to get through them.
Okay.
So, can you speak more to the mandatory biz logins for sonographers?
Yes. Okay. So it's not in effect now. We're still just actively encouraging sonographers. So as I said, we are updating our entire directory of registered sonographers. And right now, what we're discovering is that we have sonographers that have actually never logged in and looked at their curve. Okay. So that's not really effective for the quality assurance process itself. We have sonographers who have never updated their contact information. So if I need to reach out to them, I'm not able to contact them. So if they do have issues, I can't tell them about it. I can't offer assistance unless they actually have updated information. So knowing all of that, we are really encouraging sonographers, please log into Biz, update your contact information, review your curve. That's why we're making it mandatory because we want this directory. We want to be able to reach out and communicate with our sonographers.
Okay, great, Susan. And final question, it's related to measuring twins. If one twin does not have a heartbeat, should you measure the NT and mention that?
That one is a pretty tough call. Now, if it's twins, they are not going to be part of the EFTS process. It depends on your radiologist's opinion of that. If you are doing full measurements of the second twin, which is even though there's not a heartbeat, you're doing a full assessment, then you should be measuring that NT. But as I said, it really depends on the radiologist or your MFM that you're working with as to what they want you to complete.
Great. Well, thank you, Susan, for answering that question. And I just want to thank you also just for the wealth of information that's been shared here today. That brings us to the end of our webinar time today. You are all invited to join us for upcoming webinars. There's a variety of webinars happening in June. And following today's webinar, a short survey will pop up in your browser. We would greatly appreciate your feedback as it helps us improve future sessions. Thank you all for your time, engagement, and thoughtful questions today. We truly appreciate your participation and interest in this important work, and we hope you found the session valuable. And Susan, any final words from you before we close out?
Just to encourage sonographers to work on accuracy, be your own self-advocate. As sonographers, we don't get enough credit for the work we do, so I'd like us to start being our own advocates by providing really accurate information and measurements.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Susan. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.